He's Khalil Byrd. I'm
and
Josh.
And he is Joshua Levine.
And one thing we could all agree on, there's something wrong with our politics today. Stagnation is a way to sum it up. You know, all it's about is fighting. In our politics today, it's not about agreeing on anything, it's about fighting. And you may have seen these two fighting not only here in Austin and in the Austin Convention Center and all around town, but in Congress, on television. All it's about is fighting. And the only thing that we can agree on is that nothing is agreed on and nothing is getting done. When we talk about jobs, the deficit, all we get is disagreement. And one thing we can certainly say is that this sucks. And if I were to ask everybody, how do you feel about this? Do you think it sucks?
Yes.
Right, you know. Half of us think it sucks. Three quarters, perhaps? No. You know, in national polls, it's almost 90% of Americans believe that the government is not intending to do the right thing. And it shows. It shows at the polls because there's very little participation. So something is wrong.
So we live in a system and a democracy where people don't feel like they have choices. And you can go for it. The issues are chosen for you, and the more contentious, the better. And as a matter of fact, the way a lot of people look at it and the way we look at it, party bosses choose the candidates for you. Or a couple of states, small states usually at the beginning of the process, are the ones who organize your choices for you. One of the things that we see in this year's political environment is that the negativity in terms of campaign ideas and commercials is coming down on people. 90% of the commercials that were run in Florida in the primary were negative. And we have few choices and very little change when it comes to our political environment. So we asked the philosopher, Stan, to give us an idea of what this all looks like.
Ah! Hold on. Where's the sound? No sound.
I know you guys are really waiting to hear what Stan has to say.
All right. Okay, we're ready. We had it. It just disappeared. We just had it. Yeah, it disappeared. No.
Let's get to that.
You want one more shot? There you go. You got it. So, Stan?
Stan and the philosopher.
Stan, you came back. Does that mean you learned the importance of voting?
I learned that I better get used to having to pick between a douche and a turd sandwich because it's usually the choice I'll have.
He's going to vote!
I think that was worth waiting for.
So really, it's time for a reboot. And when we look at the American system and technologies, the innovation that we've developed here in America, it's really the most leveling, democratizing thing that we've come across in the last 15, 20 years. The internet has leveled financial services with companies like E-Trade, and it's leveled the entertainment business with companies like Netflix. And it's really changed the way that we research information and find things with companies, obviously, like Google. And when we look out at our politics and the way that we go about picking our candidates, this is how we did it in 1891. And unfortunately, in New York City today, it's very similar. It's just a big board with names, and we never really get a chance to really research and understand who it is that we're voting for. And, you know, of course, the Internet has adopted social media and has done a great job of extending their campaigns with social media. But really, the engagement is pretty much the same as it's been forever. So until now, really.
So Americans Elect, so we can get down to the point of what we're actually doing, we're holding the first ever online primary, and the leaders will be chosen by the American people. We are basically crowdsourcing a third choice for president in 2012. This at a time when 80% of the American people are looking for, in this election, another choice to run for president. We're putting the power back where it belongs, in the hands of the people. And as a matter of fact, George Washington talked about parties, and he said that if we allowed parties and special interests to overwhelm the system, then obviously we the people would get crowded out. So we the people are choosing the issues that matter in this election, and instead of fighting, we're going to have to ask people to work together. The finalists in the Americans Elect process are going to have to do something extraordinary. Reach across the aisle. A Democrat has to run with a Republican. A Republican has to run with a Democrat. And their first choice, their first significant choice as a candidate has to be to make sure they bring a bipartisan spirit to decision making. All of our money, instead of going to attack ads and to what we've seen in the primaries this year, all of the money of Americans Elect has been on signature gathering to put Americans Elect on the ballot in all 50 states, or spent on the technology, which Josh Levine has been developing with LBI in New York. This represents the first ever online primary in history. So instead of a few lucky states and a few people choosing who our primaries will be, and people in this room who have come from all over the country but ending up at the end of the road, every American voter has the opportunity this year to choose a presidential candidate at AmericansElect.org, even Texas, which usually doesn't matter, and you guys had your redistricting here in Texas. Just like in the Republican process where your votes may mean something in this primary, your votes absolutely mean something in the Americans Elect process. The winner of this process will be on the ballot in all 50 states in the United States. And this is the first time an open competition, nonpartisan competition, has been held for president in the history of the United States. So it's a pretty big deal, we think.
And so what we say is game on. You know, in less than a year, we've built a website to handle tens of millions of people to get their voice and their choice to nominate a president. And when we look at it, it's secure. We verify identity and who can vote to all the voters. And yet it's easy enough that anyone can really use. And that's really what we're trying to do is really get the primary system into the hands of many people, where right now primaries are not really full of participation, not like a general election. And we're bringing on the first direct democracy application ever in our history, and we're using what's uniquely ours, American innovation, to get this out into everybody's hands. And we've been very successful. We started in July, this past July. We had zero users, and now we have over 400,000 users, delegates we call them. And by June, we're hoping for millions. And we think we can get there because we're the only alternative to the current incumbent system. When you come to American Select, you answer questions. We don't have a platform and tell you what to do. The delegates are the ones that drive the whole process. And so you answer questions. You see how your neighbors have answered those questions. You get to research the process, and you get to match up to candidates. And when we look at this, close to 19 million questions have been answered so far, which makes it probably the largest American database of information that has ever come across. And when we look at this, you'd think, okay, we've heard everything that the parties have told us about what are the important issues. But when we look at our own delegates, economy, education, energy are the most important issues. And when we look at the current politics, we don't really hear that much about these important issues. So when we look at the candidates themselves, who's come to Americans Elect? Are there any interesting candidates? Well, there are Democrats. People are drafting Democrats that we know. People are drafting Republicans that we know. And independents as well as ordinary citizens. Everybody is welcome to participate in the process. Two ends of the spectrum there. Everybody's welcome in the process. And, you know, we do have some candidates that have declared. And obviously, the drafting process is on. And so, you know, this June, we really expect a lot of participation in the process and a lot of candidates to show up.
So this is a time to make history. Just to lean back for a second, Josh talked about the 3 million people who come to the America's Elect website. We've had more than 7,000 people work on this project. They've gathered signatures. They've built the technology. They've done the polling. As an organization, we've talked to more than 100 potential candidates. These are Americans who have shown extraordinary leadership, the kind of leadership that you see in the previous 44 presidents. And they running for president should be a very serious thing. And they are in the depths right now of thinking about that, even at this moment. Some of them are polling. Some of them are looking at Americans Elect. Some of them are evaluating the political environment to see whether this is a moment where a third option can win for them. Personally, we think a third ticket can win in this presidential campaign. And it's up to people like the community at South by Southwest, who is absorbed in innovation, just like they discovered Foursquare here some years ago. They have been very kind enough to discover Americans Elect. We're up for an award this year in the interactive category with our partners LBI, so we're very happy about what's been happening here at Americans Elect. So usually while people are fighting, the people of Americans Elect, thousands of volunteers, people who have been gathering signatures, people who have been coming to this particular website and opportunity are working. And they're trying to make a little bit of history. This innovation at Americans Elect is absolutely going to be offered here in 2012, where you'll see a third ticket operating. But our aspiration for this organization is that we'll take this down to the state and local level in 2014. So you'll see Texans Elect, Californians Elect, Illinoisans Elect. Our technology, which is very nimble and agile, will be able to be used in elections going beyond this particular year and into the next presidential election and presidential elections going forward. So we feel strongly that we're at a very good moment for and have an extraordinary reception from all communities, people who cover politics, people who are running as candidates, and regular Americans who've come to Americans Elect, because they are all hungry for better leadership and issues being dealt with in their way. But in order to sort of understand where we're going, sometimes you have to understand where you've been.
Ours is a time of change.
We are a united people, pledged to maintaining a political system which guarantees individual liberty to a greater degree than any other.
It decrees that we, the people, elect leaders not to rule, but to serve.
And our great parties have too often been far apart.
And sometimes our differences run so deep, it seems we share a continent, but not a country.
The torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans
that brings forth the vision and courage to reinvent America.
To make it work. Work with us, not over us.
Today marks the beginning, not only of a new administration, but of a period that will be eventful, perhaps decisive, for us and for the world.
The president and the Republicans running for the Republican nomination are good people. they are good people who are trapped in a system that is making them say things and do things that are not inspiring to the American people. But one of the things about the presidency in the United States is that it has always been an inspiring office, as is the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. The reaction that we have gotten from regular Americans as we've laid out the idea and concept of Americans Elect has been a universal desire for people to be inspired by their leaders again, a desire to look at the problems that we have, which are as deep as they've ever been in our society, and actually present solutions, to see Congress, to see the President, to see the Republican potential nominees actually move the agenda forward so that Americans can be inspired to tackle these challenges that we have right now. And that is what Americans Elect is all about and what we have been trying to inspire as we laid this idea out in the country.
So what we're asking people to do is come to AmericansElect.org, become a user, what we call a delegate, and participate. Go to the website, sign up, answer questions, support candidates. It doesn't negate you from supporting your candidates in any of the primaries. And, at Americans Elect, it's about nonpartisanship. It's about moving the country forward and selecting the leaders that you're looking for, that I'm looking for, to run the country. And we have an iPhone app and an Android app that, we ask everyone to download. It's a great app because you just ask the politician and the politician will give you any answer that you'd like to see. And we're very lucky today because we have live via satellite one of the politicians that we're talking about, and hopefully the satellite link works, and we'll have the audience, before we go into Q&A, anyone in the audience can ask a question to the politician, so hopefully this works. And whoops.
I've been across the country talking to people about just that. We are a great people.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have another question from someone out there. Anybody have a question?
How do you create more jobs?
How do you create more jobs?
Before I answer that, let me tell you a story about a young boy from Kansas.
Okay. And maybe we have another question out there for the politician to answer. Hopefully he heard that. Will you raise taxes when you're elected?
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to make America great again?
There's plenty more on the app if you want to download. And the real point of this is that they'll say anything to get elected until we do something about it, until we participate and bring our voice and our choice to the table. And the different thing about AmericansElect.org is that you participate and the result will actually be on the ballot. This is not just crowdsourcing for a headline. This is crowdsourcing in a solemn event to get someone a presidential ticket elected that really answers to the people, because this ticket is built by the people and conforms to bipartisanship right from the start. So with that, any questions? We've left a lot of time for questions. Yes, sir.
Anything stop me from being 10 or 100 or 1,000 delegates?
A lot to stop you from doing that. You get completely authenticated. And while you can go on with your email in the beginning and participate, the moment that you go towards anything more solemn than that, like selecting for a candidate, you have to authenticate and check against the voter registration records. And you can only do that once. Well, we'd love to authenticate with a fingerprint, but we... it's against the state databases. The states all have to, there was an act passed 10 years ago for the voter registration databases to be accessible for checking voter registration. And we also take you through an authentication process that's very similar to financial services. Ask you questions like what kind of car did you drive in 1995, that kind of thing.
So did you say there's 400,000
delegates
signed up so far?
Yeah,
Your goal is to get, obviously,
every American voter. But we won't get that. What you see is what Josh has called early adopters came first. And then you saw sort of the cresting. And what's interesting now is that people are looking at the candidates who are being drafted and the potential of candidates emerging who will declare that they are running. And that is an inspiring moment for a lot of people as we go toward the our preliminary ballots, which will happen in May and June, the convention.
And we've had, for signatures, we've had over 2.5 million people sign petitions in various states to get on the ballot.
Well, let's break the process down a little bit. To get on the ballot in all 50 states, you need 2.9 million signatures. Here in Texas, we need 90,000 signatures, 50,000 net valid signatures. That process is going to start next week. We have replicated that process in 30 states at this point and are going after the last 20. The most difficult state was California, which was 1.6 million signatures, about a million net valid signatures. So at that particular time, we had between May of 2011 all the way through the end of September, we had 1,000 people on the street every week gathering signatures. The rules are different in every state, and they are driven by the legislature in some places, by the Secretary of State in other places, but they are, to be charitable, anti-competitive or even worse. And it is the barrier to entry. What we found in going out and talking about a couple of simple things, you want to pick a president and not a party, are you looking for an alternative on this year's 2012 ballot? You found 7 out of 10 people out of the 2.5 million signatures we've gathered have signed. In terms of our polling, we find that 90 million people, 66% of American voters, are looking for another choice at this point and are open to the idea of a ticket that is mixed, that would be a Democrat and Republican, for example, running together, or an untethered small-I independent ticket. So, and those numbers have gotten worse or more severe as we've gone through the primary process. One of the innovations of this year is the Super PAC, but what the Super PAC has done is created a vehicle for negative advertising like we've never seen before. And so people are selecting out or are frustrated right now and are looking for another opportunity. So every number we've ever seen, Doug Schoen is our pollster. He's been doing pollster. He polled for President Clinton and many, many others. His polling, the signature gathering that we've done across the country, people coming to the website, all of it leans in the same direction. People are open to the process, and they're looking for an alternative in 2012. Please. It was designed by Ipsos Public Affairs. They're a polling firm. And the criteria was for just getting a sample of political views across the spectrum for the American people. They did a national poll with those questions offline and to verify that it would break down 50-50 the way that they wanted it to. And then we use those questions in our website. But we have no intention with those questions. The whole idea, though, is for you to match up to candidates. So we don't use the data, and we're not looking for left or right or red or blue or liberal or conservative. We're just looking for issues that match up to candidates. And if you go to the site, you find that we call it the platform of questions. We don't have a platform of issues. the platform of questions is designed to be a something that the, each candidate who declares has to do, so that they are answering the questions that are driven by the delegates and Americans elect and the American people in a cross-check in polling off-site, as Josh says. What's been interesting about it is that as delegates are putting forward their own questions and as people are voting those questions up and down, the point that Josh made in the presentation was you don't find the social issues or the wedge issues, which is what he used to call them, tracking toward the top. What you find are the issues, the questions that the American people, or at least the delegates of Americans Elect, want to have answered are around jobs, economy, deficit, education, immigration. And even though we have been awash in debates this year, people are still not satisfied with the amount of real answers they're getting from people. And our politician, who things politicians say is what was a video that this that Josh and his team did, which got a lot of notoriety. But the reality is that the answers that our politician gives on our web app are supposed to be funny are unfortunately the answers that people are expecting from politicians. So the delegates at Americans Elect are able to make the answers real through their work. Well, I'd like to start, and then Josh can finish. One of the things that you address, and I think you say it very well, is that we do have a system that strains candidates. It's just a rusty old strainer. And what happens is that New Hampshire and Iowa are the biggest filters. We saw candidates drop out after those two states. And whether or not those candidates should have been in, well, you have to run a good campaign, you have to be a good candidate, you have to have a good message. But the bottom line is that states like California and Texas, both in the primaries, the Democratic and Republican side, and in the general, usually have absolutely no weight. So Americans Elect is a national caucus, which makes everyone's vote equal on the day they vote. So that's one. Two, the second thing that I think is very important is that there is a the whole system is designed right now to make candidates pull toward the wings, talk to the extremes. And that means that whether they're talking about raising money or they're talking about getting votes in primary states, what a candidate has to do now is so severe in terms of pleasing the wings of their party that whereas they used to find their way back to the middle after talking to the base, now there's no way to find their way to the middle because the primary process has gotten so ugly. What Americans Elect allows a candidate to do first is just run a general election strategy from the beginning. Say what they want to say to the majority of Americans who they think they can capture. That's one. And then the act of reaching across the aisle and choosing someone not of your own party, but someone who you believe you can work together with, which can be mirrored in a coalition government and can be mirrored in the spirit by which a president who wins can govern. All of these things coming together allow the American people to have more choice, more voice, control the process, and for candidates to be more authentic as they go through the process. And I think that it's very difficult with the ocean of polling, including at this point more than 80% of the American people dissatisfied with governing in Washington, according to Gallup, and 90% of the American people ready to throw all of Congress out. It's very difficult to argue that the system we have right now is providing satisfaction. Did you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I think that was very well said. The point about the filter and trust, I've been called a lot of things, but not that. You know, if you look at the Democratic Party, they're an aggregator. They aggregate their leaders based on the kind of philosophy Democrats have. Republican Party is the same thing. You bubble up to the top of the Republican Party. It's an aggregator for all the people. I don't know how many Democrat and Republican leaders are in the pipeline, but I know that we see a few come out. So they're aggregators. So imagine you have a gigantic internet platform to aggregate. Right now, there's about 320 candidates on Americans Elect, draft committees. These are Federal Election Commission. This is not just somebody gaming and playing around and putting up Mickey Mouse. These are real people who are going through the process to draft candidates. And I'm not going to say the American people don't know what they're doing. All I'm saying is that there's a large platform that allows the American people to do their own aggregation without a brand, because you don't know what any of these people stand for, but you can by answering questions and matching up to people and finding out how they answer questions. So as far as I'm concerned, this is the way that the Democrats and Republicans should be doing their primaries, and I would be shocked. Well, nothing shocks me anymore, but I would be shocked that in the near term, in 2016 or even 2020, that one or both of the parties runs an online primary. Because why should, you know, right now we have over 400,000 delegates. That's about Iowa and New Hampshire's primary participation. Maybe we're even a little more than that. So, you know, but why should the leading primaries and the media define who we get? I want to do my own research. I don't want it to be emotional. I want to see how they answered basic questions, and I want to be able to see if I match up to them. And to me, that's the pure part of what the internet can do to the primary process.
You had a question.
So I'm a delegate out of America, and I'm a third.
Thank you.
Would you introduce yourself? Because
yes,
people,
Michael,
I know. Well, I know who she is.
I'm Disney, and I'm a candidate for president of the American Elect, and I believe the only female candidate in the top 30 in the country. And so, it not only forces candidates to do their due diligence, because you have to know what the budget issues are. You have to know, you know, what we're supposed to fix in the country. And I think, I'm so grateful. Gives all of us a chance to start working in South America.
Thanks.
The question I have is, what is the kind of the two questions? What is kind of the general genetic makeup of the people who are these delegates? Do they tend to lean, you know, left or right? Do they tend to be in urban or rural areas? Female and male. So what are the kind of general demographics? And then the second question is, who are the most active delegates, and what percent of those 400,000 have been back to Americans like the second or third or fourth time? Because those are essential things to, you know, to keep that process going.
It's an internet product, so it kind of mimics, all internet products. We get a lot of return engagement because the way it works, that people are always interested in finding, their candidates and how things are. We've had, we get about 500,000 plus visitors a month, which for an internet product that's only, 8 months old is, you know, I don't want to say is as fast as Twitter, but in some ways it's faster than Twitter grew. And that means people are engaged. Now, we don't measure whether people are left or right, or we have no way of measuring. I guess pollsters could figure out from the data something, but we have a lot of participation. Obviously, we started out really at zero on July 4th weekend. And then Tom Friedman wrote an article about us in the New York Times at the end of July. And you tend to get New York Times readers who participated early on, which are urban and East Coast oriented. But it quickly spread across the country, and now, you know, really the demographics are older and tilting towards female more than male. And that's really about it.
Last cycle, last presidential cycle, there was a somewhat similar organization called Unity 08, which I believe was supported by some of the same folks, that didn't achieve the success it had in mind. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how this effort differs from that. And in particular, the one thing that did come out of the Unity 08 platform process was a really consistent set of beliefs by the participants around ending the drug war in a way that wasn't at all consistent with kind of the Washington centrist conception of the corporate project. Is that something that you see happening in American Select, and is it going to be a problem for what you're doing if that's the way things go?
Unity 08 is the predecessor to this organization, and this American Select was born because a few people, including our chairman Peter Ackerman, fought a court case with the Federal Election Commission. With Unity 08, the Federal Election Commission took the stance that the idea of reimagining a nominating process and attaching ballot access to it, that had to be a party. And as a party, the Federal Election Commission would regulate it as such that it could only take very small donations to get off the ground. To get off the ground, to get on 50 state ballots and to build the technology, that at a base is $25 million, $15 million for ballot access, $10 million for the technology. And then everything else goes to administration, just sort of keeping the lights on, et cetera. When that court case was won on March 2nd of 2010, it opened up the opportunity for Americans Elect to be born. And as a matter of fact, one of the people who is the visionaries is very much involved in the process, a guy named Doug Bailey. What they weren't able to achieve in Unity 08 was, one, a definition that allowed for people to come forward and do basically an organized draft, which the FEC does not have a stake in. The second thing, it was very difficult at that time to overcome the technology challenges that Josh and his team have been able to overcome. And they never really got that far in terms of ballot access. So this organization has finished the process of ballot access in 30 states, and we've got our eyes on the final 20. We'll be done by August 1st. We built the technology. You can go to AmericansElect.org, and in the next weeks you'll see prototype testing of our voting systems. So this is real. It's happening. And right now potential candidates and candidates who have declared are in the process of trying to build their support, both within our community and popularly. So what you're talking about is something that's real, that's in the world. And I think what Josh would say is that every innovation that comes into the world like this has an opportunity to find its seeds in all types of different areas. And we think the first area is going to be down in the state level, opening up opportunity for good people to run on the Americans Elect line in 2013 and 14. But we also see other organizations approaching us talking about the matching function that Josh has developed, imagining how they can use that to have their communities be able to be sharper and more in focus with regards to what issues they care about and having leadership aligned with that. So to go to your point, we don't support candidates, we don't support issues. And it really has not been difficult to keep the organization out of some of the partisan fights that we've seen. Because the idea of there being a lack of governance or no grand bargain there's only a couple of month extension on unemployment and payroll tax cuts and all of those things, people are watching those things, and they are so much bigger than some of the sliver issues that we would have been talking about. We're just not getting caught in that cul-de-sac. And so what you're finding is that Americans Elect delegates and volunteers and everyone, they're not talking about contraception at the state level. These issues are important, but they're not getting wrapped around that axle. They actually want leaders to come forward and deal with the big issues right now. And it's not us telling our people to do that or the Americans Elect community to do that. That's where they've asked us to keep our focus.
Yeah, and that the other learning from Unity 08 Their technology was really about debating, and so people would come together and argue over issues. And it's well known on the internet that if you let two people debate online, I think it's an actual a law that they start calling each other names, and Hitler enters. I think I can't remember the guy's name, but the Hitler enters.
It's 6 minutes in.
And we learn from that, because what we're not looking for is people to answer the questions. We're looking for our political leaders to have wisdom and the conviction to lead and answer questions. We're looking for the people to ask the questions. And so we switched it all around. Instead of people coming on and answering how to end the drug war, we have people coming on asking how you're going to end the drug war. And then we're asking candidates to actually answer. So by doing that, we don't have any of the vitriol. We don't have the kind of online arguing that is famous in a bulletin board environment. And, people have asked nearly 15,000 questions, and it's unmoderated, uncurated, and, you know, you'll find very quickly that that these are powerful questions and very civil.
So. They've also answered 17 million questions. And
nearly 19 million questions.
Nearly 19 million. And you keep waiting for the wedge issues to come up to the top. They just don't.
Yeah,
they don't. People want serious conversation right now. Please.
First of all, I'd say you guys have done an incredible job with the setup and the organizing. I think you could have tapped into something that's really frustrating with the public right now. I spent 8 years working in D.C., and you guys have a lot of people who spend a lot of time in D.C. as well. And the one thing that I struggle around my head around is this notion of people, if you've seen the inner workings of this stuff, I think the experience you come away with is that it's not about the personality. And oftentimes it's not about a single individual, and oftentimes it's not about who's in the White House. And then no matter how inspired they are, no matter what ticket they run into, or they are, they run into the headwind of institutional problems with the way our government is set up. And, you know, we had a candidate elected in 08 who was really inspired, had a very grassroots movement behind him. And he ran into the cogs that are the way our institutions are set up, whether it's around filibuster, campaign finance, all these different things. They make doing these things really, really hard once you get in there, and I would argue so hard that it doesn't matter how inspired you are or how persuasive you are. You know, this is a myth of the presidency. I think it's just not accurate. I know you have people who have seen this and understand this. And so when I look at it, I go, yeah, these are great goals. But having a broader set of people choose a president is not the way to accomplish this. I would love to see all your efforts put into campaign finance or Citizens United or things like this. But anyway, I know you haven't thought about this or smart enough. I would love to hear how a single president changes so much of what you're looking to change.
Well, our good friend Mark McKinnon asked us a long time ago to use our imagination. If you can reimagine the way people are nominated through this process, you can reimagine the way they govern. So let's do that. Let's think about some extraordinary person, maybe it'll be Mike Lean, reaching across the aisle and talking authentically all the way through, and in October, standing on that debate stage, talking about the issues that people care about. They've already bridged the partisan divide, but then they're on the debate stage, and they're just, compared to two candidates who've decided that we're going to race to the bottom based on super PACs. A candidate who says, I actually got elected through a process where every American voter came forward, and these are the issues that they care about. Then they win. And their transition is built not of people who are being, payoffs for political patronage. I used to be the patronage guy working for Deval Patrick in Massachusetts, and I assure you that process is very real. Instead of that, they actually hire the best and most qualified people. We've seen examples of that with Lincoln Chafee in Rhode Island and Michael Bloomberg in New York, just hiring the best people for the job and attacking the problem that's right in front of them and attracting the best talent that they possibly can. So that's what their transition looks like. And then they're standing on the stage in their inaugural speech, and they have an opportunity to articulate these things. And the presidency is special. And President Obama used his first 100 days or the time period through the summer to do things that he thought were the right thing to do. This president would have the chance to do the same thing. But I think what's as important as that is that in 2013 and 14, people will be inspired by Mike Lean, by others who decided to step forward and run, and they'll run for governor and Senate and House, and they won't want to talk about the partisan issues. They'll look for a process that allow them to run completely authentically. So we just have to allow ourselves to imagine it. And remember, we're at South by Southwest because they do big things. We do big things as Americans. And we're just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that is that at every step of initial innovation, people say, you know, are skeptical. When I joined E-Trade, people said, well, why can't the big companies do this? They could do this in a heartbeat. You know, when Amazon started, people said, oh, well, you know, the big booksellers could do this easily. This is, you know, it's very scary to do something in a startup mode. If you look at all the reasons why you won't succeed, you usually don't succeed. So you have to have kind of like a pie-eyed feeling about all innovation and startup, regardless of whether it's political or not political. There's a seed of something that's really good, mass participation and a platform that everybody can access. So you don't have to worry about whether you're going to make it down to your fire station to vote. You can actually do it at your leisure that day. I mean, there's some merit to the innovation, and hopefully with mass participation and crowdsourcing ideas, it produces the kind of ticket that, you know, we expect to see. And there's plenty of shepherding along the way to help that. But, you know, I think it's the kind of innovation that's uniquely American, and it's something that we should set off to do. And I believe that if the leadership gets it right, you know, the fish rots from the head. So, you know, if the leadership gets it right, the rest of the country will fall in line.
There's also an exciting moment. You know, we talk about the presidency, and we've been focused on that for a reason. You know, we wanted to get it right, demonstrate it, and then move it down into the state level. But there's going to be an exciting moment when a Democratic Secretary of State or a Republican head of elections is going to come to Americans Elect, is going to call Josh up, and is going to say, I want to reduce my cost of elections in the primaries and increase participation through vehicles that I know people have, the internet, cell phones. Can you help us with that problem? The answer to that right now is yes. We've had a long and extensive conversation with those who are in the computer science industry about whether this is the right thing for a general election. And on a static day where all the marbles are right there, it's not the right thing. But for a nominating process, for an organization, the Republicans or the Democrats or Americans Elect, it's a perfect vehicle to make that leap forward. In my own experience, I did a lot of work in media development and on the African continent, focusing on television. And while we were trying to figure out how to move content into that part of the world, and people were frustrated because there wasn't enough technology and you couldn't get enough money, almost every African who could got themselves a cell phone and figured out a place to get it charged up. You leap. And that's actually what's about to happen in politics because, as Josh pointed out, in New York and all over the country, we're still doing the same thing we did, you know, 100 years ago all the way through. The technology has not made a leap, and so this whole particular space is prime and ready for a reimagination. You're inside. I don't know. I'm going to take him first, and then you go.
Well, first of all, I think we are successful because we produced a product and 400,000 people are using it. So
agreed.
I think, you know, that's if I was doing a startup and I just started last July, I would be, you know, jumping for joy that we had so many people engaged. Going forward, I think the way things work in innovation is that people always stand on your shoulders. And that's why you want to be the first, because when you're the first, you actually set a benchmark, a way of thinking that other people can innovate. You know, so once innovation starts, it multiplies and multiplies quickly. And that's what's going to happen. That's why it's so important to have us stick to it on this kind of thing. And so we're going to go through this cycle, and hopefully others will, you know, be convinced to innovate on top. And also, you know, we can have enough resources to do it ourselves. So, you know, I think we would like to continue on and do governors, senators, Congress, and I can see how it could be done. It just takes a little money, that's all.
Dan Pashman is our web editor at American Select.
Yeah, I clearly touched on it. I mean, for the general election, I think the internet is not ready for holding a general election. General election is about a secret ballot, and you know, it's a very solemn affair, and you want to keep it a solemn affair, and you know, it's a very important to the way our country works, and I don't think we want to muck with it just yet. You know, I'm not a big fan of you know, electronic voting systems in the polling place or elsewhere, but when it comes to this primary process, I think this is just the perfect kind of tool to do a nomination. If you can think of the way caucuses work, they're very consultative, they're very research oriented, they're very much social, about your neighbor and how things are, and you talk it through. And that is perfect for the primary process. People should be doing this in their living room. People should be understanding what candidates are and really doing it that way. So from online voting, I'm not a big fan, but for a nominating process, I am a big fan, obviously.
My favorite story, I have a couple of them, but was watching primary night or the caucus period, process in Maine. And they had to count them again after they had given the results. And the reason was because towns would send the results into the main, you know, the central command, and those results would end up in the spam folders of the people who would count them. So they would never count those votes. This particular system is just, it's in entropy right now, and it's bursting at the seams, and it needs a refresh.
Sir.
Could you just speak up just a little bit?
Okay, so this is a very basic question I'm going to ask because I really don't know too much about Americans or that. But how does your winnowing process work? You know, obviously, if you've got 100 candidates, a two-stage process, such as we have in primaries, is not going to be much launch. You're going to want to have many stages by which you winnow your candidates out. And point B, how are you going to channel this toward consensus candidates so that your organization is not becoming captured by, non-representative groups that are not representative of the country as a whole, where I think two parties have been captured?
We opened our website to delegates. A delegate is any American voter last summer. In January, we opened our process to candidates, and any person could be drafted. Any person could run at that point. To be automatically qualified, you had to have basically the background of the previous 44 presidents, governor, former governor, senator, former senator, running a large business, flag officer in the military, et cetera. Since we opened that process up in January, I think it was the end of January, we've had more than 300 people drafted by Americans Elect delegates. And there are a lot of familiar names there and a lot of new names. Our process opens to three rounds of voting in May. That'll be our primary. In mid-May, that group of 300 or whatever it is will be winnowed down. The winner of the first primary ballot will go into the convention. The winner of the second primary ballot will go into the convention. The final four, the first four of the third balloting, will go into the convention. That'll leave you six people. And in June, each of those people will have to go through our brief process of answering the platform of questions, et cetera. but also reach across the aisle to pick a candidate for a running mate, somebody who is not of their party. So I'm answering the second question with the first. As we go into the convention, we'll have another three rounds of voting in June. Well, that'll be winnowed down to a ticket, and that ticket will have 50 state ballot access. Our way of not allowing the process to be captured by one of the wings of ideological wings that we see is that the person has to reach across the aisle to bring somebody. And it's very important because we feel that the Democratic Party serves Democrats very well. The Republican Party serves Republicans very well. Increasingly, they're serving narrower bases within their parties. That this act of reaching across the aisle in a bipartisan spirit actually has the effect of balancing out and having a lot of people represented through the ticket. Please.
And at that point, that ticket has to go out and raise enough money to launch a campaign.
They do. I've been corrected on my answer, so I'm going to do it differently this time. You have to have a good candidate, and you have to have a good message. You come out of this thing speaking authentically. You need to raise between $200 and $300 million. You'll be eligible for public financing, but you get it because this is the first time we're on the ballot on the day after the election, so you got to figure out how to get through to that. But the billion-dollar campaign is a myth these days. We see it in the candidacies of Rick Perry, your governor. We see it in the candidacies of Newt Gingrich. Earned media, being able to talk to people directly through television, through journalists and print, is absolutely driving the agenda this year. Television, we've seen, has a strong factor. You have to have money to be able to do it and use it strategically. But a candidate can find wing in this environment very easily. And we, absolutely. No question at all.
Yes.
Yeah, no, there are finite rules, and you can go online and see what the rules are. But the upshot of it is, you have to be, it has to be bipartisan, and it has to be bipartisan in spirit. And so, you have to be in your party for 4 years. Like, there's no switching, like you just switched and that kind of thing. And also how you answer the questions, the platformer questions. You can't have, like, some harmonic resonance. They can't be the same answers. There has to be, the whole thing is supposed to be bipartisan in spirit.
Just follow up, would Ron Paul qualify for this? Being a current candidate, that's
Ron Paul would be automatically qualified as a congressman. Dan, do you have another Twitter question before we close out?
Hello, can I just jump in?
Yes, yes, you may.
Yes, Ron Paul qualifies, but if you think about the reason that got the problem, he does it because of ideological purity, and it's hard to imagine where he would actually accept the nomination where he had to pick somebody from another party. So unlike that, I think the law would be that.
We get like 2 minutes.
You had a question in the back?
Well, you made a comment about earned media driving the election, and you talked about Ron Paul. I think that earned media did drive the election, that Ron Paul would won a couple of states by that. It's really popular on the internet. The internet's supposed to be a great equalizer. And paid communications are what campaigns look like. There are tons of candidates running for Americans Elect Next. It's done a great job. I think it's really a voice that's needed in this process. But there's a reality. You have to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to deliver that message. And I think that may be an element that's missing here. I don't like the fact that Iowa and New Hampshire go first, but big, small states give candidates with big ideas and small bank accounts to compete against the other candidates that have to win. As much as I don't like that process, there is an element of it that makes sense. And I think that if you have a national primary, even if it's in stages, you still run into that problem. You have people running who aren't necessarily able to fund a nationwide campaign to get their message out. And I think that so long as money and politics is an issue, we don't have publicly financed campaigns or independent wealthy candidates, that he'll still be burdened.
To say that money is being pushed out of the equation is
I think what you guys are pointing out is this. The super PACs are creating a false bottom right now. They're keeping candidates in who probably would have washed out of the current system. That said, the myth that you need $750 million, a lot of that money, if you guys look at the spending patterns of the Romney campaign and the spending that the president is just starting to do right now and through his campaign, first of all, nobody has raised as much money as this claimed. They've burned up a lot of that money in the primary system. That's where a lot of the early money gets burned up, trying to compete in Florida and Michigan and Ohio, et cetera. We've taken that process, we've taken that equation out. So when you're starting from a standing start, you get a head of steam through our process. It is very possible for you to put a couple of $100 million together and be able to compete equally, because just remember where the moment is. In October, you'll be standing on the stage equally against the Democratic and Republican candidate. I can't say for sure that this will happen, but if they decide to eschew the super PAC for the Americans Elect nominee, that may be one of the big things that puts them over. So they will have less money, but they won't need as much. I wonder if, Mark, do you have a comment on this?
Well, the point you just alluded to, but I want to make sure it's clear to everybody, is that the ticket, the American Elect ticket, is highly likely, no matter who's on the ticket, to qualify for the poll debates. It only takes 15% in 5 national polls. And a blind poll without any candidates on it starts at 25%. So if you think about the sort of attention you get simply by being in the debate, no question, super PACs might be walking through the system, but I've been in charge of spending the money in two general election campaigns, and I guarantee you that 70% was completely wasted. And the general election is just a different dynamic in terms of the free press attention of the papers. So, yes, definitely a deficit, but also I think the nature of the candidacy, the viral nature of the internet platform is going to raise a lot of money for it. So, you know, it'll maybe be 3-1, 2-1, but they'll be in there.
Josh, can I give you the last word?
The last word is follow the hashtag donkey v elephant, and you get to see fights all over town. And make sure to come to our lounge where we can answer more questions. You know, we're sitting in the lounge. It's a great place. We have beer. I mean, what else could you want in life? And a lot of good dialogue. So and come to AmericansElect.org, and please sign up and send me email if you don't like it. So thank you very much for coming.
Thanks, guys.